So, after some hours, such a result that was not known in the Western world at that moment. And then the Egyptians called King Hussein of Jordan and said, "We have enormous results against the Jews, against Israel. You should enter and open a frontier against Israel." And Hussein gets the warning from Israel. "If you enter the war, you will bear terrible consequences." But he believed the lie of President Nasser and entered the war. They began to attack Israel over the wall that separated Eastern from Western Jerusalem. And then a troop in Eastern Jerusalem on Mount Scopus gets the commandment, conquest of Eastern Jerusalem with the Temple Mount. And they entered the Stephen's Gate in Eastern Jerusalem and conquered on the third day of the war, Jerusalem, Eastern Jerusalem with the Temple Mount. This was not planned before. It was really a decision during the war, a quick decision. And then they returned to Temple Mount after 2,000 years. No more they had the Temple Mount in their hands. Now back at the place of worship. So this was the fulfillment of Psalm 126, Song of Degrees, when the Lord turned again the fortunes of Zion. Not the fortunes of Israel, like in Amos 9 at the end, but of Zion. And Zion is the Temple Mount. When the Lord turned again the fortunes of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, "The Lord hath done great things for them." The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So this exactly happened. Back to Zion. Back at the temple wall, at the western wall, which is an original rest of the second temple in the time of the Lord, as I told you already. So after 6 days, a nation had survived. And the parade took place in Jerusalem. Rest on all three fronts. And the result of the war was a total conquest of the Sinai Peninsula, conquest of the Gaza Strip, conquest of the West Bank, with East Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, which is in fact part of the West Bank, and conquest of the Golan Heights. Why? The Sinai Peninsula and the Gaza Strip should give a security against the danger of Egypt. And the West Bank should give a security against Jordan and Iraq behind. And Golan should be a security against Syria. So you see, when Jordan wanted before to attack Israel, this land of Israel, this small strip between the Mediterranean and the West Bank, you cannot defend. There is no strategical depth. So it was absolutely important to get all of the West Bank. And you can understand that the longing of 2,000 years to build the third temple entered in an absolutely new stage. Now, back on the Temple Mount. The chief rabbi of the army, Shlomo Goren, he wanted to destroy the mosque on the Temple Mount. But Moshe Dayan, who was the real general of the army, said no. He was a secular man. He said no. So people could be disappointed, but it was not yet the time. But you see here, Israel Ariel, that's not my great brother, but Israel Ariel, who was a soldier. Then, one among those soldiers who conquered the Temple Mount. And then, his life was totally changed by this event. And he became a rabbi, and eventually the founder of the Temple Institute in East Jerusalem. And the aim of this institute is to restore the vessels of the temple. So here you see the original seven-branch candlestick of gold ready for service in the third temple. For the first time since 70 AD, Israel has again a golden lampstand to be used in the temple. And most of the vessels are restored. You could see and visit them in Eastern Jerusalem, in the Temple Institute. So, ready to rebuild. And really, in prophecy, we read about a future temple. Revelation 11, verse 1, for example. There was given me a reed, like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar of them that worship therein. Here, John describes in the New Testament the upcoming temple in Jerusalem. So you see, Daniel prophesied the exact time from the reconstruction of Jerusalem in the time of Nehemiah up to his coming as prince in the year 32 AD. And then Messiah was cut off and then the temple in Jerusalem destroyed. But there is still a 70th week in the prophecy of Daniel, a period of 7 years just before the second coming of Messiah. You see, in Daniel 9, we have 69 weeks of years before the coming of the suffering Messiah. And then a stop. And we have 7 years before the coming of the triumphing Messiah. But in between, the Bible text says, up to the end, war and destruction on Jerusalem. So the text in Daniel 9 renders plain that there is a period in between the 69th and the 70th week of years. And this is exactly the time of the church. And you know, the church in the Old Testament was a mystery. Ephesians 3 explains that God did never in the past, from eternity, he did never reveal his plan concerning the church. It was hidden in God. And so it was never revealed to a prophet. Therefore, you will never find a prophecy in the Old Testament concerning the church that would be a uniting together of Gentiles and Jewish believers. Never. You find that in the Old Testament. It was a mystery. And you see, the 69 weeks of years stopped on Sunday before crucifixion when the Lord Jesus entered as prince into Jerusalem. And then, you see, only some weeks later, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost to reunite the believers of the church. And this period of the church will end when the Lord will come, the Lord Jesus will come to rapture the church. And you see, this is a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51. I tell you a mystery. That's Paul, and then he speaks about the rapture. You will never find rapture in the Old Testament, because it was a rapture connected to this mystery of the church that was in the heart of God from eternity. And so rapture will be just the reverse of Pentecost.